So my testimony, God, I was a heroin addict. I was an addict, I think, the day I was born, to be honest with you. I was addicted to loads of stuff. But I used heroin for a number of years. I used drugs, different types of drugs. I used alcohol. I ended up in different places, different treatment centres. I ended up in loads of different treatment centres. It was handy because it got me off the streets for a while. And the food wasn't bad. But and I put on weight. And I thought that was the problem solved. But it wasn't. Because every time I came back out, I went back using. Every time. And then, I remember in, I don't know what year it was, not great years. Noel is brilliant, isn't he? He remembers everything. Well, he can't remember nothing. But I remember one time, I know only people, it was Stuart Patterson from Scotland and Alan Sweetman. Don't know where he's from, Dublin somewhere or something. But anyway, they were doing the lighthouse actually, where Derek works now. And Sean Donoghue, I went in there one evening and I was using, and they were explaining like Jesus can break the chains, and all I wanted to do was stop using drugs, and they were talking about chains. I had no clue what they were talking about. And I remember he said something to me, and I started Bible study out of my head. Now, I was at the being to meeting, 12-step meetings in and out and back using and all that. But I remember doing a Bible study, and I was out of me nuts doing it. I was mad doing a Bible study. But one scripture always stood with me. And it was Psalm 40. The Lord lifted me out of pit. Do you know what I mean? He heard my cry. He turned to me and lifted me out of me and placed me on a firm rock and placed a new song in my mouth so many will see and hear what God has done. And that always stuck with me. And I remember one time as well, I was begging off Grafton Street. Remember Gail? And I bumped into Gail and I told her it was for a hostel and she gave me money and I went off and had a turn on. But it doesn't matter. The kindness I still remember. Do you know what I mean? I still remember people coming over to me. It doesn't matter if people are out on Mala or whatever it is. The kindness of God was shown through. And that's what happened. And then I started coming to Rialto and I met my lovely wife there. And then I stopped going. The two of us stopped going. It's great. But I came back. And I remember coming back and I said to Noel, I said, look, I'm back for good. And I am, and I haven't, like, obviously I've had struggles as a Christian, do you know what I mean? It's not all you give your life to Jesus and everything's happy, clappy, do you know what I mean? The music played and everything's grand, it's not. Whoever tells you that, it's a lie. I came to Christ first and I was as legalistic as the Pharisees in the Old Testament, because I was hurt. I didn't know the love of God. People were telling me about the love of God, but I didn't know it. God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. You might as well be saying Humpty Dumpty fell off a wall, because I hadn't got a clue. Until I experienced the love of God myself. Until God came into me life and says, Paul, I remember I was praying. I even have it on the back of my Bible. He says, Paul, you're part of my team. I died for you. Now, it wasn't the pastor saying it to me. It wasn't my friend saying it to me. It was God saying it to me. And I remember being on my knees praying. And I used to be tormented. I used to see things like, you know, in the spiritual realm. It used to torment me. You know, my past and stuff like that and all. And God just came and just took all that away. So I mean, he said, Paul, you're part of my team. I have called you. There's a calling on your life. And what I did was just seek first God. And that's what I've done. And that's what I continue to do. I seek him above all else. If you want something, seek God. That's your answer. That's the answer. Whatever it is, that's your answer. Because I seek the other things. And I still get caught by them. Get yourself another dog or something. Do you know one of them? You'd be grand. Get yourself a few pigeons. Oh, Stephen. But nothing will satisfy the need that we have in us, or a woman, or a man, or anything like it, or money, or anything. It won't, because I guarantee you, go looking for it, I guarantee you it won't. But in God's grace and goodness, all that stuff, the things that God created for us, if you get messed up in them, sometimes it'll lead us back. But sometimes people don't have the chance to get back. I remember God warned me one time. He says, if you keep doing what you're doing, you won't last. And this is when I'm using. I remember God speaking to me. It's only in hindsight. Hindsight is brilliant. But God has given us the ability for foresight. He's given us his word. He's given us his word to walk in accordance to his will. To walk according to what he wants us to do. And eventually, like, I met Vicky in Rialto Church. We were in a FOSS kind of program thing. But anyway, but then we got married. I asked her to marry me. We were only together 2 years or somewhere less, was it? We don't know. Do you remember the date, do you? You don't, sure you don't. She never remembers her date. Never. But anyway, it doesn't really matter. It's the 9th of September. But you see, they say men don't listen. We do listen. I listen, don't I? See? Told you. The 9th of September, he asked the mate, we were married by the May. And they like, I don't know, there is a God. Do you know what I mean? Seriously, there is a God. Not just, God has brought people into my life. He's taken, even better, he's taken more people out of my life, which is even great. Do you know what I mean? God has taken me out of the pit, but he's also placed me in a house, in this house, but he's also placed me into a family of Christians. Do you know what I mean? That I can call me brothers and my sisters and people to pray for me and stand by me. And what is this morning I was getting really emotional around it, when the worship was playing and all, I'm saying, I was listening to that song earlier, It Is Well With My Soul. I grew up at 6 and I was listening to that. I had a low so I wouldn't wake Vicky up. But it was, and then the Lord was saying to me, he says, is it well with your soul? And sometimes it's not. Sometimes not. But God has given us the ability to say, yeah, it is well with my soul. And it asks us to even research that song because it's amazing. Do you know what I mean? A man lost everything. Is it well with my soul? And it says it in Isaiah, it says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. That's what God's word says. Read what God's word says. Don't mind what man says to you. God's word is more important. This thing is falling apart. And I love it. Do you know what I mean? I love the word of God because it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. It says, feed yourself on me. Do you know what I mean? That's what God says. He says, if you're not reading this, if you can't read, you can get it on tape. Because sometimes we presume, like what Louis says, that we can read. Some people can't. You can get it on tape and you can listen to it. And the word of God will become living and active in you. And you'll come manifested in you. And you'll be able to come up here and talk like I am. Ah, no. And do you know what else? One thing I want to say as well, another thing. I always wanted to be someone else when I was growing up. Always. Whether it be the Magnificent Seven. I was too young for that. But, do you know what I mean? The Magnificent, or whatever it was. Superman or something. But now, I don't want to be anyone else. I don't want to be like anyone else. I don't want anyone else's calling. I don't want anyone else's anointing. I don't want what anyone else has. Because I've enough of my own stuff. But, God has called us. He has a purpose for each and every one of us. An individual purpose. For us to fulfill. It's like what Paul says. There's different parts of the body. The arm, whatever, we're all connected. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. And if we can get that into our spirits and into our beings and say, no, God says this, and this is what God says. And nothing can dispute the word of God, because it says in Isaiah as well, it says, my word that goes forth from my mouth will not come back to me void. It will do what I commanded it to do. So what does that mean? It means it's going to do what it's going to do. It means the word of God says it, so that's what it is. It's not what a theologian says. It's not what anyone other says. It's what God says. That's the word of God. What does it say? What it says in the Bible. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Paul. Let's give Paul a round of applause because it's not easy. Amen. Amen. Great. And thanks, Paul. Thanks for giving us a piece of you and your life and where God has taken you from to. And Vicky, it's great to have you here in the house today. And without further ado, we have a guest speaker in the house, a friend to the house. And his name is Keith. And Keith is a senior pastor, if I'm correct, of Cross Tabernacle Church to 1,500 people. And he has seen many healed miracles and God has moved, and he's a man of God. And please, I'd like everybody to stand and welcome Keith Taylor.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Stay standing for a moment. Can you do that for me? Let's lift our hands for a moment. Lift our hands. Father, we give you glory in this house today. We give you all the praise and all the glory, all attention, the magnificent Lord goes to you. You're an awesome God. You are worthy of our praise. You are a saving God. You are a God who fills us with your presence. The same spirit that rose God's son Jesus from the dead dwells within every one of us. We are empowered to release the anointing of our God into our cities and our nations. We give you praise this morning. Fill this house, Father, with your glory, that you get all the praise. All the attention goes directly to you. We give you, God, we give you our praise. Someone say amen in here. Praise the Lord. Give him praise in here. Woo! Well, it's an honor to be with you this morning. Dr. Horvath, James Horvath Ministries would like for me to greet you this morning. It's an honor to be with him and associated with that great team of apostolic ministries that are traveling now around nations. And that's why we're here. We're not bringing in a big personality, nothing that we have. Only Jesus is what we come to bring. But God has brought us to come together to pray for the possibility of bringing a nationwide move of God in 2017 on St. Patrick's Day. And we've been meeting throughout the nation, been in set twice now, meeting with different pastors throughout the four provinces to try to see how this would come together. I can tell you that last year we were in the Philippines. We spent many times in and out of the Philippines, and we done a crusade in the Philippines last year, and we preached in the whole nation of the Philippines in 2 weeks from top to bottom in the major cities, and seen literally hundreds of thousands of people come to the Lord. Now, that doesn't impress me when you hear about who got saved and all. What impresses me is when you go back and discipleship is taking place. And I can tell you that those that we have been a part of ministering to, the local church, have taken on the awesome privilege of discipling those folks that come to the Lord. And what happened in the Philippines can happen in Ireland, as we believe that the window is very short and that God is moving around the world for nations. How many know he wants nations saved in the name of Jesus? Amen. And so we have a heart for not only our city and our nation, but we have a heart for your nation. And that's why we're here, and that's why we have graciously been blessed to be with you. First Lady, God bless you this morning. It's an honor to be with you. I so wanted to meet Pastor, but I do understand, as pastoring, as I do, the great burdens that sometimes we do and things we have to go and minister to. So can you just bow your head for a moment? Father, we pray for Pastor this morning. We pray that you keep him safe in his travels. The Lord God, that he's ministering as any man of God carries the presence of the Lord and the opportunities come forth. We pray a great blessing in his life, and surround him and bless the family and this church as he's away. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Well, my name's Keith Taylor. I'm pastoring now 18 years at Cross Tabernacle in Terre Haute, Indiana. I was evangelist prior to that and pastored for the Church of God before that. It's been an incredible journey. I've not always been a minister. I see my I'm good to hear friends from Chicago. Hobart. Oh, you're in Indiana. Oh, you're a Hoosier. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, Terre Haute. Mm-hmm. Crossroads of America. You know. Yeah, well, you know, somebody told me, they say, you from the South? And I said, yeah, kind of, sort of, maybe. I've lived all around the United States and came up in Alabama, Roll Tide Roll, you know. And the football, you don't know anything about football. You kick the ball. We pass it, but it's a little different game. But nevertheless, it's good to have you from Indiana. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, that's a God thing. Ain't even got the, hey, hallelujah, yeah. Woo, yeah. Sha-la-la-la, hey. I'm getting drunk, hallelujah. If I get a little crazy up here, don't get scared. Praise Jesus, amen. Woo, hallelujah, woo, hallelujah. I feel my dad in here. Thank you, Jesus. Been married 42 years. That was not always the case. It was pleasantry for my wife. I was a coal miner, a drug addict. Still ride a Harley, though, praise Jesus. And I'm saved, and I'd have tattoos, praise Jesus. But that all, they told me to dress up. I should have, hallelujah, praise God. I like you folk, amen. But I'm still saved, ride the motorcycle, and I minister through a lot of bikers' ministries, helped establish Teen Challenge in our city, and now is going great. I have probably 20 to 30 Teen Challenge men in our church on a daily basis during the services, so my heart is for the lost, amen. On our property, we have a 50-foot cross, says Jesus saves. And so throughout the course of my life, running from God, and a praying wife, praise God for a praying grandmother and a praying wife. When a woman gets a hold of God, the devil gets nervous. Amen. I'm telling you, hallelujah. When your wife prays, you better look out. My wife can cast a demon out just by blinking her eyes. I'm telling you right now. Amen. She can. Oh, look out. Look out. Behoo. Go to Acts chapter 9 for a moment. I'm not going to keep you long, but I just feel like the Lord has something I can drop in your spirit, and we'll move forward by how the leading of the Holy Spirit. I didn't come to with enticing words or try to impress you. I come to bring you what I feel the Lord has put in my spirit. They asked me, do you have something this morning we can put on the screen? I said, I really don't know. I won't know till I worship with you. Because I don't know you, but I feel you. I know you. My dad's in this house. Praise God. I feel him. Acts chapter 9, 31. Chapter 9 is an interesting piece of text that teaches us about Saul's conversion. Talks about how this man who thought he was doing things for God. Look at me for a moment. Saul thought he was doing things right for God. But how many know he hadn't met Jesus? He didn't meet him on the Damascus Road. So sometimes we can be religious and think we're doing things in God's name, and actually it's not. And so we see this great conversion of Paul took place on the Damascus Road. And all of a sudden we begin to see how this man began to serve him and brought him into his house without knowing him. But I want to direct your attention to Acts chapter 9, verse 31, when Saul, who was coming against the church in God's name, had been taken out of the picture because God saved him. How many know God can save your worst enemy? How many know God can save the worst of the worst? Look at your neighbor and say, God saved you, didn't he? Huh? Yeah. Well, maybe you're not saved, but you won't get out of here unless you are. Amen, amen. I love what happened this morning. So now we see that Paul had been taken out of the way and removed by God and was getting training. And the Bible tells us something powerful here. It says in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, then have the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria, and were edified. They were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. I want to talk to you for a moment about the church and what it looks like and what I think God can do and some of the things we can look for. And number one, you find in this scripture in Acts chapter 1, there was some conditions here. The first condition that the church had to was to be, a church has to be a place of rest and it has to be a place of peace and it has to be a place of comfort. How many know when you come in here this morning, you could feel the Lord in this house? The house of God should be so full of the Lord that when people come in, they feel the Lord in the house before anything's preached, before you walk in the front door. You ought to feel the presence of the Lord. On the property, it should resonate. It should have a sound from heaven. There should be the joy of the Lord. For the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. And I don't know if you've got beat down all week and discouraged or you ain't got nothing in your pocket. I got news for you. Ain't there something that takes place when you walk into the house of God? You ought to get excited. You ought to love on one another. Your ministry is in the house. You edify one another. You bless. You come in here to get stoked. Now, in the day, I used to be out in the pubs and the bar rooms, and I'd go in there at the end of the week. I'd be beat down and dreary. I'd go hang out, and then I wouldn't get hung over, but I still would go in for fellowship. And when I got saved, man, I went in the church, and I said, look at here. I can have fun, know where I'm at, get drunk on the new wine, and have money in my pocket, and God restores marriages, and he began to move and minister. When I got saved, there was peace in my house. I found out that my wife and I got together a lot better when I was walking for Jesus. Amen. There was times I'm an old coal miner, an old drug addict. I come out of the military. I was in ordnance, and they trained me up, and I was making pretty good money, making minds, had bad all these addictions, and I could hear my wife in the morning. She loved to pray. She was taught to pray, and I'd hear her go, shabba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, and I'd wake up and have a wet spot on my forehead where my wife would take anointing oil. She'd be laying there, oh, saving Jesus, saving Jesus. She'd say, I don't know what to do with him, but you do, Jesus. Do something, but do it right now. And I'd wake up and I'd have that oil in my head. I said, would you quit praying for me? I'd go to the coal mines and I'd get my meat sandwich out and I'd taste it. It didn't taste like mustard. It had anointing oil on it. It tasted like olive oil. And she said, if I can't get it on you, I'll get it in you. I'll get it all over you. And she would pray the Holy Ghost and power, you see. And then when I put my boots on, they'd slick. And she put oil in my work boots. And And then I'd come in and I'd be tired. She says, can I draw you a bath, baby? I said, oh, yeah, that would be nice. And I'd get in that bath water and I'd be slick and slippering. And she put oil in my bath water. And she prayed. And the more she prayed, the worse I felt. And I was in the deep depths of the coal mine one day, and there was an accident, and I couldn't get out. And my grandfather was a Pentecostal preacher. My mother was a backslid Pentecostal's daughter, wasn't really raised around God. But my grandmother put the gospel in me. She took the Jesus in me. She set her on her knee. That's before we didn't have all these X games and all these games that kids play. My grandmama had an old Victrola. You know what a radio, a record player, and you'd wound it up. I know I don't look as old as I am, but I'm an old man. Wind that up, and she would bounce the gospel in me. She'd set me on her lap, and she would sing gospel songs to me. And I always thought you had to sing one glad morning when this life is over. Because she bounced me, you see. But she'd sing Jesus to me, and she'd tell me stories. And she said, well, I want to tell you the stories of the gospel. I want you to smell the camels. I want you to feel the life. And she could tell the stories of Scripture that were alive. And it got in my spirit, and it got in my heart, and it took me on a journey. And the Lord knew where I was going to go, but he knew where I was going to come back to. And it went, that anointing went from my grandmama into this wife, and she got saved, and I was not happy. It messed my life up. I didn't want her saved, but she got saved. And then she got filled with the Holy Ghost. And when she got filled with the Holy Ghost, oh, my. She oil on the doorpost, door, grabbed the knob, oil everywhere. It was bad. But when I got saved, I relate to this scripture, cause peace come into the house. And the Bible says that a house of God should first of all be a church where there's a place of rest, a place of peace. The second thing, it has to be strong. A church has to be strong. I like what you're doing. You're going out into the city and you're ministering and you're doing things right. You're touching your community for Jesus. You're getting right into the nitty-gritty, we call it. Getting down into life. And I know that we went out and I bought an ice cream truck. One of them ding, 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 ding little ice cream trucks. And we go out and we give all the inner city kids free ice cream. Because a lot of those little kids had never gotten ice cream, could not afford it. So I said, the Lord showed me. Now this sounds real spiritual to some church folk. You know, they're real religious. Oh, God. I said, we're going to buy an ice cream truck. Well, why do you want to do that? Because I want to get them babies to know that they're worth something and know that Jesus loves them and they don't have to live their life all down and out. That God loves them and he wants to give them something special. So we bought an ice cream truck and we go into the city and we give them free ice cream. Last year we gave 5,000 out in one night. No, 30, they're every week, 30 ham sandwiches and lunches, sack lunches. And we got a little message that we play on the speakers, and Jesus loves you and things of that nature. And people, church folk, are getting excited because they're just not sitting in a pew getting fat on the word. This word works. When you release it, it saves souls, amen. And people get excited and marriages come back together and in order. Praise God, aren't you glad you got Jesus? She's even happier you got Jesus. A third thing we see that the church has to be walking in the living word of God. We have to walk out in the fear of the Lord. I fear my Lord. I'm not afraid in that fear. I fear that I won't please him. Keeps me praying. Keeps me fired up. Keeps me excited. I like what I am. I like Jesus. You should have known me before. I wasn't a nice guy. I love him. People look at me and say, Pastor, you're too excited. I've been at this a long time. They say, oh, you're just a new Christian. No. I'm fired up now because I know what it's like to be high on the world. I don't like that high. I know what it's like to be addicted to the world. I don't like to be addicted to the world. But I'll tell you something. I'm stoned on Jesus 24/7, high on the Lord, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I tell them I used to carry my dope, and I know where I'm at. In the world, we call it my stash. I always knew where my stash was. But when I threw out that stash, I got me a stash. I lay out a line of Jesus and I get stoned on the hallelujah. Give him praise in here right now. I'm getting, got to watch myself. I got to preach hard. I may not be back here. You know what I'm saying? Fourth thing is this. It says that the church has to be growing. Aren't you thankful that God's blessing the house of God? You know why? Because things are taking place. God is moving. And when I began to pastor, began to move, I said, God, I was on the evangelism trail for a long time. And I said, if I ever pastor a church, I want to pastor a church that's out in the streets and out ministering. And I'm tired of people beating on the bride of Christ. Because a church can be a real church, and a church can be out in the streets. And the church is okay. It really is. That's the bride of Christ. We just got to start looking more like Him. Amen? Watch this. The Bible says that in Acts chapter 9 and 32 that Peter, his name translated in the Greek tongue, means a stone or a rock. And it says that this rock, this stone, went out on a mission to visit churches. So he went out to visit the church, take a gander, kind of look it over and see what was going on by the leading of the Lord. Now, Petra is a rock, a massive rock. And we understand that Christ is the solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. And so we find that it's not in the religious world. It's not in just the name of a program. It's not in the name of the fancy preacher. It's in Jesus Christ. And we see that Peter was a piece of that rock, a piece of that rock. And it says that Jesus is that rock. Now watch this quickly. In the course of his trials, I got to hurry. In the course of his trials, he, Peter, Petros, somebody say Petros, not Petro, Petros. It says he arrived in Lydia. Now by scripture, Lydia by translation means strife. So the Bible shows us that this man was so anointed that he was known as a rock, a piece of a rock, a piece of the rock. In other words, he was saved, full of God. And the Bible says that he went walking into a city. And when he went into this city, that city's name means strife. I can't think of a better place to be is to put somebody full of God in the middle of strife. Because how many know that God is a peacemaker? He does it through Jesus. He went into the city, the Bible says. He went into strife, and he met with believers there. So he went in, and he was dealing with the church. This Petros, this man is a representative of Jesus, walks into a city called strife. And in the midst of this city called strife, there was a church, in plural churches. The Bible says that he came across a man named Aeneas. Now, his name means lullable. In other words, what Aeneas' name means is one is a deserving of accommodation or praise. So we find that this man who is a carrier of Christ goes into a city that is of strife, and he runs into a man that is lullable. In other words, there's something that this man needs to be elevated up. It means praise. There's something in him that needs to be elevated. You listen to me. Listen to me good. We of men and women of God must always look at somebody, not just at the outside, but how Jesus sees them. And sometimes the most anointed people that I've raised up and trained up and preachers I've got around the world have been ones that the most unlikely candidate. They're the ones that nobody would put any time into or nobody would look at. They come out of the teen challenge. They come out with heroin out of them. They come without the cocaine. They come out of the religious circles. Those are like Paul and Saul. We're up there caught up in religion, but Jesus got a hold of them, took the religion out, and he put souls and salvation in their lives. And we see that this man who's a carrier of Jesus went into a city of strife. Thank God in that city there was a church in that city. Somebody say amen in here. And in the middle of that church, watch this. This really gets me. But he found a man in that church. And the Bible said, who had been in bed 8 years with paralysis. So we find that even though there was peace, there was still needs in the church. So you have to be very careful sometimes that we don't get comfortable with our Jesus. There's always minister to be around. Not only in the streets, but sometimes just in our midst. There's folks in here today, I can tell you, that are paralyzed by some things. You may have fear, you may have doubts. You may the enemy will tell you you'll never acquire what people see in you or what you can be, but I can tell you that Jesus has set you free today. Here he comes. He's carrying Jesus. He goes into this city called Strife. And I don't know about you, but my city, Terre Haute, Indiana, has been called everything. My city has been called Sin City because it was. It was full of prostitution and alcoholism. My city has been called Meth City because methamphetamine. My city is called the Smelly City because of the industrial in there. And my city's been called everything but what it is. But let me tell you about my city. My city, where God put me, is called the Crossroads of America. And at one time, you could go nowhere in America without crossing through Terre Haute when 41 and 40, because you could not go anywhere. And brother will tell you that you could not go anywhere at that time. My city's a river city. It's on the river. My city's a border city. It's between two other cities. Illinois is right there across the river. The extraordinary thing about my city is that my city is tied to Israel. And the way that she's tied to Israel, that we used to have an industry there back in the wartime. And there was a Jewish chemist by the name of Weissman who went into that city and lived, and he developed and invented a synthetic acetone. Synthetic, it was shortness of acetone. So he made a synthetic acetone to make explosives. Weissman took that money, and he took that money and he went in 1948 to Israel, and he used that money to establish Israel as a nation, and he became the first prime minister of Israel out of my city. And what happened is my city is marked by the enemy, and it's marked by God, because my city is the crossroads of America. But it's also immediately helped start the end time clock on Satan. For this generation shall not perish. See, why? In 1948, she became a nation. So God is moving in our cities, the crossroads of America. We've been in revival services, Mighty Moves of God, for 5 years now. God kissed that area. We send 35 to 40 pastors out weekly, in different denominations and different faiths coming together and ministering. That's why God's called me with that anointing to come into your country and go into the Philippines and go around the world at our own expenses. We raise our monies to do this because we have a love for the nations, because we believe that the end time is a very narrow window. Jesus is coming back very soon. So if they call your city, whatever they call Dublin, whatever they say, I got news for you. You look at your city and your place to minister as the way God sees it. My city is a saved city. My city is a resurrected city. My city's in revival right now. Because of that, there are hubs of revival all through our nation starting to spark up. In Rochelle, Illinois, not far from you, Dr. Horvath's church, right over in Rochelle, Illinois, God began to move in a very powerful way. And the first living oracle of the Azusa Street Revival. You know of Azusa Street Revival? Tommy Wetchel was a young man, and they brought him in as a young man, and they give him, he's the last living voice oracle for the Azusa Streets. In other words, they told him the stories, and they got it into him so that he could repeat the stories of Azusa Street, setting in that movement of God. He released that anointing into that meeting that day, and from that time, it's never been the same. God is pouring out on nations, my friends. Get ready. Paul goes in to strife, but he's a man of God. If you're a man of God, strife doesn't bother you. Why? Because Jesus sent you in to bring healing in the midst of the people. And when he went in, he began to minister, and he looked around. He's looking through the crowd. Now, you remember the Bible says the church was at peace. Everything was cool. And he looked around, and all of a sudden, the Bible says he found someone that had been paralyzed for 8 years in the church. Read your Bible. The Bible says that God healed him in the church. And then the Bible goes on to say, for time's sake, that it was such a miraculous move of God's supernatural move that the whole region came to Christ. Woo! Because a man of God went into the church and he let Jesus in. Jesus moved. Don't you fool yourself to think that everybody comes to church on Sundays, all right? There's things that we need to do in our life. Bow your head for a moment. I want to minister to you. I know it's half past, and I need to get out of here for you. Man, I got so much I could preach to you. Do you have some music you could put on the background? I know your musician Simon had to leave. I understand that. I think this is what the Lord would have me tell you today. I'm not going to go any further. Is that I'm not carrying anything but Jesus. And believe it or not, I don't take this lightly. This is a divine appointment. God's brought you here and me here for a reason. I believe in destiny and purpose. I believe in the Holy Spirit can do more than what we can even ask of God. Every head bowed in here. I want you to think about that strife. You may have strife in your family, in your marriage. You may have strife in situations, in your something, decisions. Someone in here has to make a pretty serious decision today. And the decisions, what they're trying to make, they've got all kinds of turmoil going on right now. There's someone in here who has a relationship problem, relational. They need to ask the Lord. They really need a move of God. There's something here this morning that need to be encouraged. I know where you're at, but I'm just going to give a release for a moment. Every head bowed. He walks in and he looks and he finds a paralyzed man. A man whose name means lifted up. A man who needed Jesus. He needed a touch from the Father. So if that's in here, you didn't do this morning with your head bowed, I want you to begin to receive a word from the Father this morning. That no matter where your strife is, and God can do it for this whole drug addict coal miner, he can do it for you. And God can mess with your life and turn it around and rearrange things that may come at you in a very strong and not pleasant way. But this morning, in the midst of everything, the Bible says in strife, in the place of Siron, things become level. And the Bible says people woke up to the fact of who God was. Letting God move in your life this morning, my friends, could set your whole region completely upside down for Jesus. You don't have to live bound and paralyzed. You don't have to put up with these things this morning. It's time today to begin to release these things to the Lord. Would you just lift your hand and begin to release things to the Lord? Father, shokatare bando. Father, we just release this strife. Come on. If you had just lift your hand, just begin to release anything. Any strife. Oh, Father, anything that would bring discouragement. Right now, I bind discouragement in the name of Jesus. I take authority over it now. Father, today we're here for one reason, and that's to allow you to move. Holy Spirit, right now. Lift your hands, brother, right now. Let God touch you right where you're at. Just lift your hands. Come on, shoot, right there. Sister, you in the blue right there, God's doing something for you right now. It's not by mistake you're here today. Somebody put your hand on her shoulder, because I'm telling you, the Lord is right now. I know my dad. He is shining a light on you right now. Come on, you guys around her. Sissy, this is for you, received from the Lord right now. You know, right there it is right now. Brother, God's got his hands on you, man. Stand up and just lift your hands to the Father. Somebody around this brother right now, put your hands on his shoulder. God's speaking to you, my friend. God wants to set you free. And you know what? Don't carry guilt no more. Get rid of the guilt. You ain't letting nobody down. Come on, lift your hands. Father's going to restore you, man, if you let him today. He sent me in here to speak that to you today. Father, I take authority over my brother's life right now. Lord, begin to miss. Let him feel you. Father God, stir within his heart your passion right now. Somebody just lift your hands. Shandore. Somebody start praying in the Holy Spirit. Come on, if you don't know the Lord, it's time. And I'm going to ask you to do that in a moment. I want you to feel his presence. Come on. There he is. Come on, stand up. There you go. He's standing up. Come on. Get rid of the strife. Just make a statement. I'm standing. I'm going to do this right now. I'm not going to leave here anymore with it. Come on, just make your stand. Get rid of all the pressure. I'm going to get rid of all this life stuff off of me. I'm going to break it off. There you go. They're standing all through the building. Just get rid of it. Woo! Wow, I feel my dad. Woo! Shere baro basundo rebando. Shere ba rebando rebande re de de. Ramundo shimunde rebando. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't have to understand him. You just have to feel him. Come on, let him move right now. Shere bando. Somebody's got a problem with their head. There's some kind of I don't know if it's a migraines. I don't know what it is, but God will heal you right now. Just begin to stand up and lift the Lord. Sissy, I don't know what's going on with you, but God's got his hands all over you. Just lift your hands right now. The Lord sent me all the way over here to speak to you today. Just lift your hands to the Lord. His hands is all over you. Don't be afraid. Yeah, they're right there, you in the gray. He's all over. That's the joy of the Lord. He said for me to speak that to you right now. The Father loves you enough to stop me right here and pick you out. Just lift your hands right now. Put your hands on her shoulder, bro, right there. There you go. In the name of Jesus, this girl in the gray right here. Come on. I don't know her. Shatoreba said, I feel the Lord right. That's my dad right now. Come on, come on, come on, sissy. He's breaking things. He's doing it. Come on, get your joy back. Come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. It's okay. Come out here. Come here. Is it okay? Come here. So help me out, Paul. Come on, lift your hands. He's all over you right there. Wow, it's new. I know. Woo. Ah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo. The joy. Feel that? That's his joy. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, you don't have to fall down. You don't have to join the church. You just love on him. Let daddy touch you right now. All up in your pink right now. Let God touch you. There you go. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. Feel that? That's the Lord. Come on. Shandoreba sondore bande. Wow, wow, whoa. Woo. Stay here. Hey, hey. I said, come on, come on. I was in a service not long ago. I went to a lady. I said, look at me. Put your hand on my shoulder. In the middle of a mighty move of God, all these dignitaries there, and I'm getting drunk in the Holy Ghost. I said, give me your other hand. She looked at me. I said, now here's what my father told me to do with you. How long has it been since you danced with your father? You ever danced with your father? You haven't, have you? You never have. You see, God's not somebody that sits so far away that he don't want to get this intimate with you. It's okay. daughter. You're his daughter. He loves you so much. The Bible says you're the apple of his eye, and he wants to restore you. That lady I was dancing with that day had just had a double mastectomy. Both of her breasts was removed, and she was sitting in her chair, and she said, "Father, if I could just dance with you." I had no idea. And I want to tell you right now, I don't know why I'm saying this to you and why he pulled this out, but honey, you've not danced with the Father right now. You love Jesus. You're working through the things, aren't you? Right now, he's being real to you. Lift your hands in here and pray. Shh. Wow. You don't have to understand anything, but know one thing. You have a divine word today from the Lord. Come on, lift your hands. Come on, Jesus. Yeah, come here, brother. Lift your hands. God don't deliver us halfway. He does it all the way. Come on. Lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, help me. I bind addictions in the name of Jesus. God don't just halfway deliver. He does it all. Come on, somebody. If you're struggling in here, you know what I'm talking about. Stretch your hands this way. Woo! Come on, man. Come on. Come on. Father, I pray the craving out of his soul. Take the craving out. And Father, that he quits craving. Oh, complete deliverance in the name of Jesus. Shondo, help me pray. Shondo, no resistance, brother. Take a drink of the Holy Ghost. You filled with the Holy Ghost? Yeah, there. Whoa. Come here, baby. Come here. Sha.
What you need, baby? What you need? What you need, baby?
I can do that. That's a small thing for the Lord. Yeah, not anymore. Put your hands up. You love Jesus? You got him in your spirit? You just got today? First time today. Listen to this. Lift your hands. You just give your heart to Jesus? Say this with me. Say, Jesus, I can't do life by myself. I need your help.
I need you.
Today.
Today.
I repent. Of my sins. Come into my life.
To my life.
Give me a hunger.
Give me
a hunger.
Hunger.
To be a disciple. I come against drug addiction. I come against pancreatic situations, diabetes. I bind it. Oh, my God. It's first. Whoa. Come on. That's the Holy Ghost. Don't resist him. It's okay. It's all right. Help me pray. Wow. Wow. Yeah, feel that? Come on, that's my daddy. Woo! 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 Be healed in the name of Jesus. Yay! Come on. Burdens be broken. Heaviness go. Oh, you're carrying too much. How old are you? What's your age, baby? You're too young. Come on, lift your hands. Help me pray. My Bible says that if the children of God would learn this prescription, the Bible says put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Help me break a spirit of heaviness right now, will you? We praise you, Lord. Come on, begin to praise him. I praise you, Lord, right now. I break it. The joy of the Lord. Oh, every mind, everything. Look at me.